Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. My name is Sonny, and I, of course, here I'm joined by my co-host, Didi Crow. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I just had lunch with Didi Warrior Lady, actually. It went really good. We talked about some of the different dimensions. Assailant is doing really well for themselves.
How do you work around that crazy beast of yours, though, huh?
It's really tough. Survivor is actually very helpful. He's the one who kind of deals with it. He's taking a trip around the macrocosmos. It was funny. I was digging through bulk and I found something. I thought of you. It's an instant. It's a ready fusion target. It's a winged beast. It's called Punished Eagle. And I didn't know this card existed until I found it. I thought it was fake until I looked it up. So I can't wait for till 2 years later we end up in the like old fusions. But I'll take DD Crow. I'm ready to banish any day.
Yep, DD Crow is indeed a wonderful Yu-Gi-Oh card, and in fact, it's going to play in pretty heavily into our Edison format.
That's true. That is correct.
Well, let's go ahead and thank all of our wonderful sponsors, I think, for the start of the stream today. So, of course, we're going to thank ETB Games, where I held my Edison tournament today, as well as Steel Fox Games. I want to thank them for their continuous support of the podcast. Of course, we cannot forget GM Accessories, as well as Grimoire TCG Accessories, and, of course, we have Tier Zero Games and even Dragon Shield. We have affiliate links with discount codes for each of those down below. I think it's 5% off for each of them. And then, of course, you have 10% off for Gem Accessories. And, of course, be sure to check out our TCG Player affiliate link below. Oh, excuse me. All of those rarity collection singles that you are wanting are available on both Tier Zero and TCG Player. So if you're going to go ahead and grab some of those, be sure to just click that link in the description down below before you shop to help us out. Now, of course, we're also going to direct you to our Patreon. We want to thank all of our wonderful Patreon members. And if you want that extra episode every single week, be sure to check that out. And of course, if you are listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts or wherever, and you're not already subscribed to our YouTube channel, you really need to go do that and subscribe, because guess what? Right now we are live on YouTube. I am actually going to be streaming these every episode now, is the goal. I am also actually doing some other live streams on the side. I have started my Master Duel journey over, and it's definitely something. I'm starting like from the tutorial. I'm trying to build Pearly, which I don't know, man. Yeah, it might get hit in Master Duel, but to be fair, even if they hit Pearly in Master Duel, What are they going to do? Semi, like, two of the spells and move on? Like, that'll be fine.
I imagine that the hits will probably be very similar to the OCG. Although, what's weird is that Pearly seems to be, like, way better in a best of one format than other stuff. Because it has the ability to OTK on top of the setup, like, towers as, like, a go second plan.
Yeah.
Also plays, like, reasonably well under Max C. Because, like, you can only give your opponent a couple draws. And you get a lot of draws yourself if you're doing the plump stuff.
Right.
I think probably what they'll do is, I think they might take the same route as the TCG and Limit Delicious. Like, they expected Cash Tira to be better, I think, but it turns out Cash is just kind of okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well, I am excited to get that journey underway, and you can be sure to check that out on our YouTube page. And if you subscribe, go ahead and click the notification bell. That way you know when I go live, in addition to our normal podcast episodes that we are doing. And also, I think we might even have a couple of deck profiles coming out. For what we're actually going to talk about today, we're talking about both YCS Richmond as well as Skyhawk did some stuff at locals, and I hosted an Edison tournament today, which they insisted that I play in my own tournament. Told them no, but they just really wanted that extra person, and
they just really wanted to lose.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was great for me, but brutal for them.
Is it difficult for you, the unbearable weight of massive talent?
You know, it has its days. It does, but it's, you know, we all have our burdens to bear. So,
the crazy thing about Edison too is that you can be somebody like Sunny who, like, basically hasn't played the TCG format in like 2 months, and just pull up to an Edison tournament and clap everyone up.
Months.
As
5 months.
Fair enough.
I have not played a game of the Yu-Gi-Oh! TCG in paper. Since early August, when I played a single Edison tournament and I lost round one. It was single Elim, I lost round one. And besides that, I haven't played since Nationals.
Well, speaking of the TCG format, we'll catch Sunny up to the developments. So YCS Richmond happened this weekend. It concluded today for those of you watching live, but for those of you on Tuesday, it happened this weekend. And it was won by Unchained. The finals again was an Unchained mirror. Congratulations to Joseph Bellafiore. Sorry if I butchered your last name. For winning with Unchained. Both players, I believe this was their first YCS top. So huge congrats to both of them for making Wild. Finals.
Congratulations, seriously, to them. Both of them.
Yep. Cool feature match, too. Cool finals. So top 32 is actually really interesting. So there's a big kind of meta shift. Previously, it was thought that Rescue Ace was going to be the most represented deck, just based on results from last time, but that is clearly not the case. Unchained is back on the top. It's not overwhelming, but they had the most representatives, so in top 8, they were a third of top cut at 8, Unchained. Followed by, for the top 4 decks, we've got Tier Limits coming in with 6, D-Bell Star Rescue Ace coming in with 4, so still very good, and then 2 decks at 3. It's kind of tied for that fourth spot, which is Pearly and then Diabelle Star Infernoble, which went from 0 refs to 3. So a couple of big reasons for these shifts. First is that everybody was like very, very overprepared for Rescue Ace. I don't necessarily even want to say overprepared, but they were clearly teching for that. Super Poly was very, very prevalent, and the main Super Poly bit there is Guilty Gear Freed and Draco Equest, because they do well into SP and Baron. There was even a feature match where they both got summoned in the same match, which was hilarious. But they're also very good against Monadium. And the other thing is that Droll is back in the format, and that's because people were terrified of Monadium being really good.
Right.
That means that Unchained gets to do really well, because Unchained does not really care about Droll. And while Super Poly can be a problem, if you have a Charvara in hand, Super Poly doesn't really matter that much. So it's not surprising. Tier also, I believe two of the tier builds were Horus Tier Lament. The tier that made it the farthest was Justin Singh, famous for losing on feature to Exodia, playing Horus Tier. We saw the Horus engine in a few lists. That's kind of the breakdown, and Pearly is a good deck this year. The bigger development is Diabelle Star Infernoble. Pack played this deck and got top 4 with it, ended up at 3rd place after the 3rd place match happened. And the builds are really interesting. Almost all of them are playing the Snake Eye package, because it gets you, it's just extra extension into a Soul and Baron, and also Fires. does a lot of cool stuff for, and you get lots of like free stuff to send, so it's not very costly to send for the Diabella Star. In the lower segments, we've got two Diabella Star Makanko players. Turns out this is actually the Ken and Gen deck. So what this deck is doing, for those who are unaware, is going first, the goal is to give your opponent Acid Golem. Using Ken, Gen, and the Makankos as material for it. With Geonator Transversor. On top of that...
Seems real healthy.
Yeah, it's real nice. The other thing is, because of the way Geonator Transversor works, when you do the Ken and the Gen effect, because they're not on summon, they're effects that you would like activate. When you change control with Geonator, you can use both effects of Ken and Gen in the same turn. So when you switch, you can give your opponent the Ken and you draw to discard one and you can hand loop them. So that's cool.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty sick that, and it's also kind of crazy that everybody was thinking like maybe it would be Pearly, maybe it would be some like crazy wombo combo deck.
Yeah.
No, actually it's Makanko. the thing is, like, we have to respect it now as a deck. It won a YCS. It has multiple YCS tops. Clearly, it has staying power.
You know what other deck had a bunch of YCS tops and was like top in regionals everywhere and was just like considered like a top five deck? Mm-hmm. Branded Chimera, but it just doesn't exist anymore.
It's gone.
There's actually some good theory about that in the Reddit thread that you had actually sent me. Mm-hmm. There was somebody that said, Chimera crashed so hard from top five deck to rogue. And somebody commented a really, honestly, like, reasonable comment on Reddit, which is wild. Pure is too vulnerable, and if you don't see engine, you're playing top deck mode. Branded variant means lack of utility space, and even then, a lot of hands are still vulnerable to Astral, Bestial Crow, and even the well-timed Imperm Hurl. So not being able to properly fit SP and, to a slight extent, Typhon is a major thing that dissuades people from playing the deck.
I heard somebody talking about this earlier. Typhon is actually like a huge problem. Like all the monsters that do everything in that deck are 3K, and so Typhon just shuts all of them off.
And again, it
is kind of insane to think about it this way, but not being able to make SP is a disadvantage in the format.
Yeah.
So
the lack of not having the utility just to make SP, it's just like this deck's just not as good as other things. Like, there's just other things that are in the format that are just better.
Yep.
And which is a wild thought, because it's legitimately a very good deck.
Another piece of that puzzle is Droll. The Chimera deck has a problem with Droll, and again, people were maining or siding it because of the fear of Monadium, the specter that looms over the format. And so that, I think that also caused them to do worse. So
yeah, absolutely.
In the there's some interesting stuff hanging out in the 2-1 of. So there were two Labyrinth players that topped. Labyrinth is kind of seems to be the thing where like a couple of them are going to top every event. No Vanquish Soul though. So finally maybe the dreaded single Vanquish Soul top is over. In the 1-ofs we have one Scareclaw Monadium. So one Monadium did manage to sneak through all of the Droll and Lockbirds. One Salamon Great, which we did see on feature. Unfortunately, they had kind of a rough go, but the list is pretty heads up. The extra deck is really well built, and they're playing some different ratios of the spell cards. Fire Recovery, specifically to help play around Nibiru, I think is very heads up. Although, realistically, the win con of this deck is to give your opponent Weasel and activate Rivalry or Gozen, so it's not that exciting. and then the other two one-ofs, a Dinomorphia player got top 32, managing to beat so the thing is, this is actually makes sense in formats where Droll is really good. Dinomorphia is kind of crazy. They do not care about Droll, they don't care about most of the board breakers that exist. A lot of people aren't playing Backrow Removal. They're playing Lightning Storm for they might be playing Lightning Storm for Thrust or for Rescue Ace, but it's not there. And you can play around Super Poly pretty easily by just not summoning another monster. They actually probably should have won their top 32 match. There was an illegal play that determined a game win, but the game had already concluded, so it couldn't be overturned. And then finally,
that was in the Dinomorphia matchup.
It was in the top 32 written feature match. Yep. Pearly player.
What was the thing that was determined that determined the game?
Pearly player attacked with Typhon for game after activating Dark Ruler, and they would have lost if.
That's huge.
Yeah. So both players, the description in the feature match was that, so the trouble with situations like this is that intent is very difficult to prove, and it is the responsibility of both players to maintain a legal game state.
Yeah, sure, yeah. But like
that said, it's like, pretty bad. It's one of those, yeah. Like the problem is like everybody forgets stuff, but that one is like, it sucks when you pick up the cards and the judge is like, hey, just so you know, your opponent is getting a warning because they shouldn't have won that game. It's just a crappy situation to be in.
Like, yeah, thanks for letting me know in top 32, yeah. after it's over.
Yeah, also that person was Ruxin 34, so
even better.
The last last deck in Top Cut is Cash Tira.
Now hold on. Just a gosh dilly darn second. I thought we all agreed this deck was cringe and we should just ban it. I thought that was just understood.
So this is something that Jesse Cotton talked about post ban list. Was like, if what happens to Cash Tira if there's an Arisar ban? He's like, the deck is probably still playable rogue. I'm not convinced it's dead. And here it is. Max Reynolds, I think, got second at a regional with it not too long ago.
Wait. Did you say Max Reynolds? Is that who topped with Cash Tira?
Not at this event, but they did top a regional with it previously. So like a couple weeks ago.
Where's he from?
What?
Where's Max Reynolds from?
I have no idea. It's Jeff Jones's partner.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy.
There's a Max that, you know, I got multiple Cash Tira deck profiles of on our channel who topped a bunch of regionals with that deck.
I don't think it's him. But
okay.
Maybe it was him who topped this event. I don't know. But they're playing some pretty sick stuff in the extra deck. They're playing like an Odd Eyes Rebellion package to OTK. It's pretty sick.
That's insane.
Aside from the deck is basically just Fenrir control with Dimension Shifter, but you could still play it. So that's kind of where the format is. My last piece of analysis on this is that we don't have a clear best deck now. We're in a format kind of like Toss was, where the best deck is going to change based on what people prepare for. If people are prepared for Rescue Ace and Monadium, Unchained is going to do well. If people decide that we can't play the Graveyard Hate anymore, Tier is going to be the best deck. If people decide we're playing all the Graveyard Hate in the universe, Rescue Ace comes back in because it's not as affected by those cards. And then the rogue that exists underneath of it is going to kind of dwell and morph. Like, I don't think Dinomorphia tops an event when everybody's not playing Droll and they're playing other hand traps. But as soon as people shift to stuff like Droll, Dinomorphia does really well, so the rogue that is playable also shifts as well. Right. So
are there any decks that you're really shocked to not see represented here?
I mean, obviously with the analysis, Branded I think is big. I am, to be frank, I'm kind of floored that a Vanquish Soul didn't top. I feel like it just happens every time, but I guess they didn't draw enough. There can be only ones. None of the players did. Notably, there were a couple of very cool decks kind of existing in the realm of not quite topping but almost there. There was a Horus Tri Brigade deck that appeared on stream looked really incredible. Just very, very good at pushing through interaction and making boards. And the advantage that the Horus engine gives you is really crazy. It turns out I don't know if this is true as like a Tri Brigade player, but I heard Joshua Schmidt talking about this, where part of the problem with Tri Brigade is that sometimes you open hands where it's like, I have like a Nurgle and Kit in my hand and I have no way to get them out of my hand. And so
that's almost never a thing. I mean, maybe if it's Tri Brigade Sprite, but like standard Tri Brigade, you would just go, you could normal either one of them and just link them off for like,
just do Almirage. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one interesting thing that they're doing now in those decks is that you can banish one to summon Lightheart and then use that to make Sprind. There's some interesting stuff.
I mean, they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah. But the Horus Cards pitch kit turns out is pretty good. And then it is interesting that there's no Runic, there's no Sprite. They're just gone. It's crazy that
they're gone.
And I mean, Sprite has taken a lot of hits, but I feel like everybody was like, we have to like limit blue, we have to like finally kill this deck. And it's like, no, actually it turns out we really don't have to do that. Yeah. So that's the YCS. So. You want to talk about Edison?
Yeah, for sure. So today what we ended up doing was the first event of my I Need a Roof Fund. I went to ETB Games and I put up a I put up an ultimate rare light play unlimited Stardust Dragon as prizing. And basically I had like a little Edison tournament of my own where first place gets the light play Stardust, or the ultimate rare Stardust. And so the concept was that we would go in, I would just like take entry fees and stuff and let everybody play, and I just hand it over to the winner. And of course, Dragon Shield, being awesome, was nice enough. They have they've been sending us sleeves over the, you know, to promote their product over the last, since they started sponsoring the podcast, they just send us sleeves pretty regularly. Well, they sent over the last sleeve, we got some sleeves not too long ago, like a couple of days ago, actually. And I combined, like all of the sleeves that I had on backstock with the new ones that they gave me, I just like, when I got there, I just gave sleeves to everyone, let everybody, I was like, I've got all these sleeves here, just go ahead and pick some sleeves and we'll go ahead and everybody gets free sleeves. And then top four between the new ones, because we got some new ones like a couple of days ago. So, one new color called Aurora. Ooh, and then the new Christmas designs. So went ahead and was able to give those to all the top four. And it's a lot of fun. But they insisted they wanted me to play. That was their mistake.
This is funny. Yeah, that was the biggest mistake. They're gonna bring Sunny into an Edison tournament and expect to not get owned.
Well, here's the thing, is that like a lot of them are better than me. Like it's round one. But a lot of that was because I had never played a single game with the deck I ended up playing, which for those curious was Phinixian Cluster Amaryllis Burn. card's crazy.
Have we told the story on the podcast? Do we want to enlighten the people as to why you were playing this deck?
So I was playing this deck because I had an experience recently where I went to a very major tier one event.
An experience.
And I proceeded to watch this deck get third in the event. While this deck did get third at the Ultimate Time Wizard event that they had at Nationals this year, which in and of itself is a wild thing to think about, is because when people think Edison format, they think like Black Wings, they think Hero Frog, things like that as the best decks. But Phinixian Cluster Amaryllis Burn consistently seems to top events, and it consistently seems to perform well. But the issue is Amaryllis is a $50 card.
Yeah.
And so, which it was a $10 card when I picked my first one up. And then when I picked my second and third ones up, it was already a $50 card because it got third at Nationals. Now, I did not pay $50 for mine. I paid $15 for mine. But that's neither here nor there. All I'm saying is that vendor needs to double check his prices. And he was being very mean to very many people, so I don't feel bad. But this was weeks after the Nationals. He should have known. When we went to YCS London, I played a good friend of mine, Caitlin, in Edison off to the side. And after playing off to the side, I was like, you know, Caitlin, she's like, come on, let's play Edison. I was like, oh, come on, I don't know. She's like, all right, I'll play Edison, please. So I break out the Black Wings decks, which like I never lose with the Black Wing deck. It's a good deck. And well, don't you know it? Caitlin pulled out Amaryllis Burn. I had never read Phinixian Cluster Amaryllis. I did not know what this card did. But I was quickly enlightened. And Volcanic Counter and Phinixian Cluster Amaryllis, when you combine that just happening over and over, it's brutal. Now, the version I played actually didn't play Volcanic Counter, or it did, but it was in the side. Mm-hmm. But turns out you don't need it, because Amaryllis just is giant and a jerk, and Amaryllis just keeps coming back. Like, Amaryllis just keeps doing stuff. So, for those that don't know, I will enlighten you on Amaryllis. This card cannot be special summoned except with its own effect or with Phoenixian Seed. Okay, sure, we're not playing Seed. If this card attacks, it is destroyed after damage calculation. So if I attack with it, it's going to pop itself automatically, which is already like, okay, where is this going? If this card you control is destroyed and sent to the graveyard, inflict 800 damage to your opponent. Okay, so it's got 2200 attack. So if I attack directly, I'm going to hit for 22, and then it's going to destroy itself, and I'm going to hit for another 800. So essentially, it hits for 3K. During your end phase, you can remove from play one plant-type monster from your graveyard to special summon this card from your graveyard in defense position. So what you're telling me is that it's not once per turn. Like, Treeborn Frog is considered one of the best cards in Edison format because of... Well, it's not one of the best cards, but it's like a pretty powerful card in Edison format because you can summon it in the standby, do something like an enemy controller, and then turn around and bring it back. Right, because you're still in the standby. Well, this turns out Amaryllis can do that just as strongly. And I'm going 10 plants deep, so I'm playing 3 Amaryllis, 3 Titanial, which, guess what? Titanial triggers Amaryllis.
That's so stupid.
And then guess what? I'm playing Dandelion, which also gives me more Titanial fodder.
Dandelion.
I'm playing Lone Fire to go get Titanial.
Well, and the thing with Lone Fire too is that you can cycle your Lone Fires to load up plants in the graveyard for Amaryllis too. Like,
yeah, if I wanted to, I could. But with me playing these plants, I'm also playing one Botanical Line and one Lord Poison. It's like a 10 card plant package.
Lord Poison is goated. Lord Poison.
But it leads to these really cool interactions where, for example, I was playing in top four because it was only 8 people. So we did 3 rounds of Swiss and then we cut to top four. I was playing in top four against friend of the podcast, Dylan, who decided when I was recording my deck profile to start screaming, Opelousa is a floodgate propaganda. Mm. But regardless, I was playing against Dylan in top four, and he goes to pass turn to me, or I go to the end phase because I'm about, or no, yeah, I'm in my end phase, and he's at 3,000 life, and I have 2 Dandy tokens, an Amaryllis, and a Cataster on my board. And a Torrential set. In my graveyard, I have an Amaryllis, a Lone Fire, and I have 3 removed plants. One is a Titanial, one is an Amaryllis, one is another Lone Fire. And I think I have a Dandy in my grave. I have like a bunch of plants. I have plants everywhere. Including all 3 Amaryllises in the rotation. And then, in my hand, I have a Burial from a Different Dimension. Well, Dylan's at 3,000 life. So he's on 1 card in hand. Maybe 2 even. But I'm looking at my like 2 cards in hand. I'm like, this is going to go neg a lot for me. But it puts him in such an uncomfortable position that I have to do it. So I activate my Amaryllis in the end phase. Summon it. Activate Torrential. Blow up my whole board. 2 Amaryllises, the Cataster, and 2 Dandy tokens. The 2 Amaryllis is burning for 800 each, putting him on 1,400 life. But, so then what I do is after that, I use 1 Amaryllis to banish another and then summon it back. And then I use Bear from Different Dimension, reload my graveyard with plants, and use the Amaryllis to bring back another one. So now he's on 1,400 life. He's looking down the face of 2 Amaryllises.
That he can't get rid of.
How do you clear him without dying, you know? Yeah, you can Caius one of them, but you can't do it with both. And then even if I find a way to attack with Amaryllis the next turn, it'll destroy itself regardless, right? So even if you put up 2 monsters that are bigger than the Amaryllis is and don't attack them, I just crash. And then what? They both die and you lose 800 for each one.
That is very funny. That's super nasty that you can put your opponent in those positions too. And it's really big. So like, like, what do you, you can't, like, Snowman Eateriate, Raikou doesn't work. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the format that just doesn't do what you want.
Right, and so you also get to play some of the best cards in the format in, like, Lila and Raikou, because you want to load up your graveyard with all these Amaryllises and all these plant monsters.
Yep.
But you also, because you're playing plants, you get to play other cool supplemental engines, like you're playing three Hidden Armory, like, and you're also playing Mark one of Mark the Rose, one DDR. Right, which I was like, the whole tournament, I kept going, man, why am I playing three Hidden Armory? Like, I'm only playing two equipped spell cards. Like, if I don't have the equipped spell cards, Hidden Armory is just dead.
It mills.
No, I didn't realize that Hidden Armory can pull from the graveyard.
Yep. Hidden Armory is kind of whack.
I had no idea. Because I'm like, I'm only playing one Mark of the Rose, and I'm only playing one DDR. I'm having trouble. Like, at one point in the tournament, again, I did not realize until I was on my way home. In the deck profile, I talk about how much I don't like that. I'm like, oh, man, I don't like that I'm playing three Hidden Armory and only two equip spells. This is so stupid. I say it in the deck profile. I didn't realize until I was on my way home. I was talking with one of the other guys, and they were like, you know, I just thought about it. I think Hidden Armory can pull from the graveyard. I was like, there's no way. That'd be too broken. Because at one point, I went Hidden Armory. I already had Mark of the Rose in my hand. I go Hidden Armory. I mill the DDR. I'm like, oh, I literally don't have a target left in deck. I can't resolve Hidden Armory. And I almost lost the game because of it.
That's wild.
But I dropped my first match because I had literally never played a game with the deck before. I didn't even know what Amaryllis did. I had to read Amaryllis.
Had no idea.
Yeah, I was reading the cards as I was playing. I didn't know. But it's funny because the deck has this, like, when you start the game, you're like, you look at your opening hand and you're like, there's no in between of, like, you're either, you look at your opening hand and you're like, oh, I'm going to immediately win this game in three turns. There's no way I can be stopped. Like, my opening hand is like Lone Fire, trade in Amaryllis, which is Amaryllis is level 8. And it's like,
okay.
I can't be stopped, right?
Yep.
But other hands, you look at it and it's like, Sangam, you know, Mark of the Rose, no plants. And it's just like you just look at your hand like, what do I do? But every single game you end up, you're like, the longer that game goes, the more likely you are to win the game. This is not a deck of, you know, Tri Brigade is like fast pressure early and often. This deck is like a very slow grind, and then it gets exponentially harder to beat the longer the game goes on. Because you have a never-ending pool of resources, and the longer you build that never-ending pool of resources, and then because you can so consistently have cards in your hand to discard, like Amaryllis is, like Plague Spreader, like Necro Gardener, things like that, because you always have something to discard, you really put yourself in a bunch of winning game states by being able to play cards like Phoenix Wing Windblast, which is super free. You're playing, you know, you have Lightning Vortex is amazing. Because while, yeah, people do set cards like Raikou, it's really crazy to be looking down, like, your opponent went first, they have, like, a frog board, right? They've got, like, a couple dupes and a substitute or whatever. And you look at it, and you're like, huh, Lightning Vortex. And they're like, right? Or, like, if you wait until your opponent is in, like, a controlling game state, and they have an absolute zero up, and you don't have any monsters up, you can just Lightning Vortex it away and not lose anything, and then just summon and go. I mean, it's insane. So it's weird because every game simultaneously feels like you're going to lose guaranteed. Like, and then it also, by the end of it, every game feels inevitable.
Like you, yeah, wild. So, it's a very unique deck. It's funny.
It is.
So I actually did know what Mark of the Rose did, but not for good reasons. I played back in the Dueling Network days. I played a very, very bad FTK.
Those are indeed days. Wow.
That involved using Mark of the Rose and Malefic Cyber End Dragon to change control with your opponent a bunch of times to burn them.
Sure.
Very funny. But
okay. Do you want to get the TLDR short version of the deck list?
Let's hear.
Rattle it off.
Yeah, give us the goo.
So you've got three Amaryllis, three Titanial, and this is supposed to be three trade in. but I don't have them handy. Mm-hmm. One Botanical Line, one Lord Poison, two Dandelion, two Lone Fire Blossom, two Lila, two Raikou, one Necrogardener, one Morphing Jar, which is either the craziest card that you ever play or it's terrible. There's not really an in-between. Although sometimes it just gets you back into the game and it's kind of wild. Plague Spreader, Sangan, MST, Heavy Storm, Brain Control, Foolish Barrel, which has never felt more broken. Charge of the Light Brigade, which has also never felt more broken. Three Hidden Armories, the one Mark of the Rose, and the one DDR. And then your traps are, and then, like I said, there's supposed to be three trade-ins because you're playing six level eight monsters, but that's what it is. Three Wing Blasts, a Torrential, Dust Shoot, Call, Mirror Force. And then I don't know why the Bottomless and the Deep Prisons are here with my main deck. Those should be in the side deck. Let's see. And then the extra deck, you are playing the Chimera Tech, Fortress Dragon, Colossal Fighter, Dark End Dragon, Stardust Dragon, Thought Ruler, Archfiend, Ancient Fairy Dragon, Black Rose Dragon, Arcanine Magician, Brionac, Goyo, Ally of Justice, Catastrophe, Armory Arm. I'm missing three cards out of this list. This list was also actually playing Red Dragon, Archfiend, Tempest Magician, and Queen of Thorns, which I had to borrow all of. Mm. And then the side deck, I was missing a lot of side deck cards, but I played two Cyber Dragon, three Volcanic Counters, which they play them in the side deck in this version. I don't know how I feel about that because I feel like they should be in the main deck, but at the same time, I don't have enough fire monsters to justify because like I'm not playing Volcanic Shell or anything. Although I probably should just because I have the ulties. Bear from a Different Dimension, which feels like it should be mained. Lightning Vortex, which feels like it should be mained. Card Destruction, which feels like it shouldn't be here. Noblemen of Crosshair, which never came up. Fiend Comedian, I'm playing one, but...
Fiend
I'm playing
Comedian.
Two Knock, by the way, two Noblemen. I'm playing one Fiend Comedian. This card should be is... two.
Fiend Comedian is goaded.
But I could only find one.
Fiend...
And then two Deep Barrier, or two Deep Prison, one Bottomless.
Fiend Comedian is a card that is just waiting for its time, I think. That card is absolutely insane. It's like...
Fiend Comedian is a side deck staple in Edison format.
Yeah, really? That's kind of that's weird to hear. I feel like I've never seen anyone play it. I played it in
It's a very recent development because it's only good, like it's really good into the frog matchup where they just dump like 20 frogs in their grave on turn one.
So you have the 50% chance. Fiend Comedian, for those who don't know, is you flip a coin, and then if you call it right, then you mill cards. I think it's up to the number of cards your opponent has in their graveyard. And then, or if you call it wrong, you banish your opponent's entire graveyard. So, yeah. I played it in...
No, if you call it right, you banish your opponent's entire graveyard. If you call it wrong, you mill equal to the number of cards in their graveyard.
Darn. So, at worst, the card is Needlebug Nest, and at best, the card is, DD Crow your opponent's whole graveyard. I played it in TCG, in TOS format for a short period of time, in Paleozoic Dinosaur. Because against Orcist and Salad, it was, and even Striker sometimes, it was absolutely nuts. And if you miss, you mill a bunch of paleos and some survivals ends. So it was actually kind of cracked.
Do you imagine a Striker player being like, okay, I'm going to activate engage. And you're like, okay, I'm going to hit you Fiend Comedian, banish your whole graveyard. Now you're engaged, it just searches, it doesn't draw.
Better yet, Kagari, target engage, you go... No, you do not. Or
no, you do not.
Ray effect? No.
No, not today.
Or Salad, like, I would like to activate the effect of Jack Jaguar. Bam.
Yeah.
You will not be doing that today. Or Orcist. All your stuff is gone. See ya.
So do you want to tell us about your locals? Because I feel like, I guess you want to hear what else was represented in today's
Medicine. Yeah, tell us the other decks, and then I'll go over my three-round tournament report.
I need a new chair. My chair keeps, like... It just lives, like, constantly falling. So I keep having to, like, constantly raise my chair.
Yep.
So it was one Amaryllis, one Doom Caliber Cat, which is the other deck that got, like... I won. We got to finals, and we decided not to play. And rather than get the... I just ended up giving him cash instead of the Stardust. Like... I gave him like a lot less than the Stardust value because we were essentially just splitting
an agreement.
we reached a mutually beneficial agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That ended with me keeping my Stardust, but he said, "You can say you won." So, but he beat me in Swiss. To be fair, he was my only Swiss loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that deck profile too. That'll go up in the channel, and Then there was, so there was Amaryllis, there was Hero Frog, there was Caliber Cat, there was Dragons. That was top four. The other decks represented were, I think, three Black Wings and one that I don't know what it was. Maybe Macro Monarch. I don't know, that guy said he was going to play Hero, but I don't think he ended up. I mean, he said he was going to play Exodia, but I don't think he ended up playing Exodia because somebody threatened to main deck exchange.
You gotta love Edison players. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he was. I announced it in our little group chat, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna play Exodia. Y'all get ready to get FTK'd, baby." Because he was doing like the Exodia build that like dumps them all to the graveyard and then uses like something treasure or like Hero's Return or something like that to add a bunch of normal monsters from your graveyard to your hand. And it just like adds all the Exodia pieces back to his hand. And so he runs that deck. And he FTKs a lot with it. But somebody threatened to run exchange, so he ended up not playing it.
That is bless his heart. That is terrifying.
Yeah, well, it's terrifying for all of us, which is why we were all like, nah, we're gonna main deck DD Crows, nah, we're gonna play exchange.
True. Well,
I don't think a single person ended up doing that.
I guess I'll hop over to back to the TCG format. We'll teleport some decade plus years into the future.
Yep.
I played in.
Oh, and I also opened more rarity collection.
I did see. Sorry about your pulls.
three boxes, and I did not pull in any of my in my premium slots, my luxury rares. I did not pull any of the following: Ash, Nibiru, Prosperity, Ghost Bell. What are the other good cards? Desire, Extravagance,
Forbidden Droplet, Triple Tactics Talent.
Nope.
Nibiru. You already said Nibiru.
I already said Nibiru.
Lava Golem, Change of Heart.
One. No.
The Alt Arts, Unicorn. Uh-uh.
No, I pulled an Alt Art. I pulled an Ultimate Rare Golden Lord, I think. Yeah. I think I pulled Ultimate Rare Golden Lord. But
I pulled the Quarter Century Golden Lord.
Yeah, it was Ultimate Rare Golden
Lord. That card is good.
Alt Art Golden Lord.
The bulk. How did you do for? So that's like obviously had like the high rarity stuff has some variants. How did you do on like the bulk, like the other rarity stuff? Like,
so I don't actually know entirely offhand. I know in my initial two boxes I only pulled two Prosperity, but I think I managed to pull two or three more out of the one box I opened today.
Yeah, I've heard.
And I know I got one from a friend, so I think I pulled four in three box.
Yeah,
three boxes.
So I only got three entry packs for, so on Saturday I played on in a rarity collection release event trying to win the Golden Daddy Eldritch Met. I didn't pull any luxury rares out of my entry packs, but my terrible pack with Summon Limit, Cherubini, Small World, Change of Heart, Lava Golem, Triple Tactics Talent, Selene. Oh no, I didn't pull any luxury rares. But
I picked up a lot of extra stuff though.
That's what I think the set is good for. You can own every card in the set if you want for not very much.
Well, I went in and I was like, I'm gonna penny stonk this set because it's too easy. I picked up extra copies of Lightning Storms, Talents, Droplets, you know, extra like secret rare imperms, and I'm picking up every Prosperity I can find. I mean, Ghost Bells. I mean, Nightmares. Even like,
I don't have them. Yeah, I don't actually have too much to tell about the tournament. I do have some pickups that might be funny to show off, but to give a quick tournament report, I took Unchained Fluffle. There's been like a few developments in the list, but not too much. Just maybe mainly swapping some stuff around for the upcoming format. My round one was against Runic Stun. I won 2-1, and I won in time. Game one, I won the dice roll, but I couldn't do very much. It was basically just Rage Escape pass. We grinded it out for a little bit, but my opponent top decked a Fountain before I could get my plays going. Game two, I made them go first, and I opened Feather Duster, so they lost. They didn't open a great hand, so I just OTK'd them. Game one, however, took a very long time. So game three, we both bricked but my opponent bricked worse, so I poked with like Penguin and Chain for a couple of turns. I actually misplayed. They flipped up a Tikaboo, and what I was supposed to do was overlay the Penguin and the Chain into Dweller, attack, and then Zeus their board. But I forgot to make the Dweller before I attacked. I got dinged by they drew playable, but by that point I had put them down to 3k and they couldn't gain enough life points with Munin in 2 minutes to overtake me, so I won. Nice. Round two was against Gimmick Puppet, and by that I mean it was against Branded. Game one, okay. I got Gimmick Puppet locked and I did not see my droplet, and then game two I made them go first. I didn't get Gimmick Puppet locked, but I drew no non-engine, and so I couldn't beat the board.
As one does.
And then round three was against Runic Stun, which I won 2-0 because they bricked twice.
Nice.
So, good event. I actually still had a chance to win the mat, but I got paired down after round two, so my on-breakers, there was no way for me to win. Yeah. But I did pick up some funny cards, so I will go through some of those quickly, because I think we still got a few minutes. So
yeah,
I picked up a few foreign cards, mostly because they were funny. So first off, we have a French Fossil Dig, which is Recherche de Fossiles.
Recherche de Fossiles.
Ajoutez one monster of the type dinosaur to max. Max niveau 6 depuis votre deck à votre main. Hilarious. Two other French cards. French toy vendor, which is Vendeur de Jouets. And Fluffle Angel, which is Ange, Ange Peluchable.
Ange Peluchable.
Well, and then probably the funniest one, I picked up a Starfoil Dotscaper, and this is in Italian, and its name is Pixelator. So Pixelator. I love Pixelator. It's a Cyberso monster.
Cyberso, I love that.
Yeah, the coolest pickup though was sitting in bulk in this giant unsorted bulk box I was looking through, was a Shatterfoil Fluffle Bear. I have been looking for these forever, and nobody has them. So now I have.
Wait, do you need those?
Yeah, I would. Do you have them?
I have one. I just didn't know you needed it. I was like, dang, this is cool. Skyo could appreciate this.
No,
but he already has them. Anyway,
we could talk later.
we're gonna talk about this later for sure.
Yeah. Picked up a tin pep because I didn't have a pep, so that's good. I picked up a big chunk of a Nordic core. I've been seeing Abyss post on Twitter about the Nordic deck, and I saw that it was playing Hippo Carnival, so I have to try it. So I picked up
While I'm here.
Yeah, I picked up the common synchros because they were pennies, and then I picked up three of the Link one, which is a Gulvaleg. But one of them is actually name shifted, and the shop didn't notice. I don't know if it'll show up well on my camera. I'll send you a picture of it later. But
I can see it.
The name is like at the bottom of the box, so
it's kind of on the bottom.
Free misprint, a Link decoder. And who knows? Maybe I'll do cyber stuff. A Golden Rule because I needed a third one. Card is gorgeous in secret. And Ashura King for Evil Eye.
The king.
Yeah. A Vice Requiem because we were experimenting with the DDD package in Fluffle. A Super Poly Target because I didn't want to regret not buying Guilty Gear, so I got a Mysteria and the Dragon Crown. Draco Berserker of the Tinny. I got some backup Fluffles, some Penguins and an Octopus. I'm going to experiment with these to see the best way that I can prevent warping so I can help the community in the future. One Evo Singularity. So that I can play the Evol package and some stuff that Nash and I are cooking up.
Of course.
One Dark, because I didn't have an Ultra and it looked really nice. Two, Patisselle Couverture, which is needed for the new Nouvelles support out of Age of Overlord. So I'm excited to start playing that deck. One, Snake Eyes Flame Burge Dragon for stuff Nash and I are cooking. One, Quarter Century Rainbow Dragon, so I can upgrade Crystal Beast.
As one does.
One Totem Bird for a deck that I am building. So I guess Ruddy Rose Dragon, because I didn't have one. And then the last cards are three Altergeist Melusique and one Altergeist Malwisp. This is a normal summon package for those who don't know. Meluseek is a normal summon. It's either a free Herald of the Arclight or a free Baron de Fleur. So, and it's also good as a going second tool. You can threaten to attack with it. So in decks that don't need the normal summon, it's a pretty good option. And Totem Bird, which I did not have a copy of. And the reason for that is because I am building Tistina.
Totem Bird is a card that's like just kind of good to have copies of.
Yeah, it's kind of cracked. It's just that it requires wind monsters. So like nothing can make it.
Right.
It turns out having a rank 3 that is just a spell trap negate is pretty good. It's literally, it's just Lagia in a rank 3. But yeah, that's local.
So I have a question. While I'm sitting here kind of fleshing out the cards that I pulled over the weekend from Rarity Collection, do you have any questions on Rarity Collection ratios that I might be able to quickly answer?
Out of 3 boxes? I don't know. How many?
Yeah, it's not a lot, right? But the vast majority of people aren't going to be buying a lot either.
Yeah. How many? So I do have one interesting piece of information for ratios, is that they're kind of wild.
Sure.
Especially because every card at every rarity, and then the rarity of some of the rarities. So I have a friend in the Edmonton Yu-Gi-Oh community, Blake Morrison, who opened 5 cases of the Rarity Collection.
Yep. That's a lot.
Yep. Not a single collector's rare fossil dig.
I pulled one.
Yeah. That's actually what I was going to ask, because out of 2 boxes, I only pulled this one super rare fossil dig. How many fossil digs did you pull? I'm curious.
That's a great question. No secrets.
You mentioned the one collectors.
These are the ultra monsters.
And the other thing I'm curious about, just because I had heard rumors about it, and I don't know if it was true, how many tour guide did you pull?
One ultra. I pulled one ultra, one... did I say no secrets?
You said no secrets.
And now I'm on supers. That's one super? I did not pull a lot of fossil digs.
Interesting. I'm thinking... I don't know that it was shorted, because like I said, my friend that opened 5 cases also opened 3 quarter centuries and 3 plat secrets, so I don't think it was shorted, but it is interesting that in smaller quantities, it's actually, it can be tricky to get playsets of some cards.
Very, very tricky.
The other question, how many tour guide did you pull? Because out of 2 boxes, I also only pulled the one super.
Tour guide. So I pulled, let's see here. So in this pile, I have 2 secret tour guides, but it was actually a different guy at my locals that opened both of those.
Mm.
He opened one box and pulled 2 secret tour guides out of one box.
Yeah.
And past that, I pulled one ultra, which I think I might have even traded him. Like 2 tour guides. I think I had traded him 2 supers for his 2 secrets, but like with other stuff. Like we did a lot of like card matching and rare swapping. I pulled this.
Oh, that's the LQCR. That's pretty sick. That was actually going to be my last question. What's your favorite luxury rare that you pulled?
My favorite luxury rarity that I pulled. I also pulled this actually.
Oh, plat secret. Okay, yes. So you got a fair number of tour guides then. Interesting.
Yeah, and I think I got like 4 or 5 supers.
Wild. So, it seems like, I don't think it's that they're short printing. I think there might be some clumping, which people might be finding.
That's definitely possible.
There are also not as many misprints, but there are some interesting ones. There's a cool one House of Chance retweeted. Shout out to Oop It's Jono, one of the OG Conclavers, pulled a quarter century secret rare Effect Veiler without the foil. It's like, it looks like it's like one of the old platinum rares, kind of.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. There's also some misprints where like you can see the back of the card art on the front of the card in different spots.
Yeah. Where it looks like it has the swirl
front. It was like a whole box that was like that apparently. But yeah, that's okay.
As far as my favorite.
Yeah.
So I like the way that the Platinum Secret Rares look, but I wouldn't call any of them my favorite. I dislike the way the ultis look on in person. Or like, I dislike the way they look on camera, but some of them look okay in person. Yep. The issue is that they always look wet.
I kind of get that. I think there are a few that are really good, and there are some that aren't great. Like, I think I've said this before, but I pulled an ulti Borreload Savage Dragon. I think that print is pretty not great. Harpy's
if
Feathers.
If you want to know what card looks awesome in Ultimate Rare, Ice Dragon's Prison looks sick.
I believe that. It's got some stuff that you can pop out of the card really well, which is what I think makes a good one. Three examples that I've seen, two that I have in person, and one that I've seen.
I love this card. This card looks beautiful.
That is pretty as a quarter century, actually. That's a flex one up right there now that it's limited. Blackwing Simoon the Poison Wind looks amazing in ulti. Oh, that is nice. That is nice. Yeah. That is pretty. And Harpy's Featherstorm looks gorgeous in ulti because each of the individual leaves is raised up. So you get this cool effect kind of going across the card. And Time Thief Redoer, solely because the... Yep. Oh, you pulled one too. Nice. I really like that one in ulti. And Time Thief Redoer, because the monocle is raised up, and I think that's very funny.
You said Time Thief Redoer in what rarity?
Ulti. But I mean, ulti? There are some good ones.
You know what card looks really good in ulti? Like, shockingly good. Mm-hmm. In fact, it looks good in all of the luxury rarities.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And I'm not saying it just because it's a Sword Soul card. This card looks legitimately beautiful. The ulti really looks good. But you know what else you can say looks really good? The collector that I also pulled. if it's worth a dollar in collector or ulti, I pulled it, baby.
Astronomically bad. Astronomically bad pulls for this man.
No, seriously, I went back for another box because I was like, surely it's not going to be that bad again.
Keep gambling.
It's not possible. Not only was it possible, it happened, baby.
Speaking of people who make things possible, I think it is about time we thank our patrons.
It absolutely is. So let's go ahead and thank all of them. So, of course, a huge and wonderful thank you to Always Second. I took a brick wall to court and won due to concrete evidence.
That's a Phoenix Wright line right there. That's good.
I would argue that you won due to... what do they call it? Hold on. What do they call it? What's the stuff in between the bricks?
The mortar?
Is it called mortar?
I don't know. You're asking
brick and mortar.
You're asking the wrong guy. I'm pretty sure it's mortar.
Brick and mortar, like a brick and mortar store. Yeah, you won due to mortar evidence. I worked too hard for that one.
I don't think you really tried to glue those words together, but it didn't work out great.
Yeah. They didn't stand tall like a brick wall. Mm. Zyphorus, Big Stinky Blood, Best Copium, Ding Dongs, Hostess of the Yang Zing, Give Me That, Haresi, Konami, H.H. Shiber, John Leo, Mountain Man, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Place, Pendulums, The Silver Hope, Understanding and Reading are two different things, Virtually Savior's World, Welcome, Host of the Top Cut Podcast, Florida Reason, Trouble, Sunny, What Do You Call a Magic Owl, Houdini, Wind Up, Carrier, Zinfandel, Meity, Aaron Gardner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashless Cheps, Atsuyo Simba the Silver Castle, Blackwing Silver in the Sun is the best Floodgate Box Wine, Chubby Ninja, Come On and Get Your Game One, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, I'm About to Rika Glamour, Tribute for Cross, He's Plant Nuts in Your Mouth, Level 4 Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Llama Yama Cam Sarama, Maxi Pack Old Man Red Pink Up 143, and Wanted, Seeker of Your Mom's Sinful Spoils. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast, and thank you everybody for tuning in and checking out our super nice and super rambly podcast episode today, where we didn't have the most topics in the world, but we had something to talk about. And if you want to check out our podcast, we are recording on Sundays and Wednesdays generally, unless something else goes wrong. And I am going to also be doing my own separate live streams on a couple of other days of the week. So be sure to check that out. And I am also announcing, I announced it last time, but I'm reminding everybody on Friday night, November. And it's November 17th to the 18th are the 2 days. It's a Friday night to, not this Friday, but next Friday. I'm doing the 24-hour stream from, I don't know the exact time that I'm going to start, at 7 or 8 p.m., something like that, until 7 or 8 p.m. on Saturday night. So we're going to do a lot of Mastered, old baby. So if you're interested in that, be sure to check that out. We'll be here. And thank you all so much for your continued support, and have a great week, everyone.
The Top Cut podcast really does have some cool stuff cooking, so you should watch this space. This chaos space.
Nope, not, it's not shiny enough. You can't do that.
That's true. I don't have the quarter century. It's not funny enough.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.